7.3 FM, Richmond. I am Lightning's Girl. This is Cause and Effect, and tonight is all about the UK group Roxy Music. They were active actually quite a few different times, from 71 to 76, then they took a little time off, 78 to 83, and then back again in 2001, and have been doing a bunch of reunion show type things ever since, because they're approaching their 40-year anniversary. They have a box set that came out earlier this week, or earlier this month, and I thought, you know what? This is the time to do Roxy Music. I've never done a show on them, so why not now? Arguably, they could be considered one of the most influential rock groups from the 70s out of England. Their impact just seems to be growing, especially as synthesizers continue to be used in popular music. And electronic music is overlapping with rock and pop more than ever. We can thank them for basically helping give birth to the new romantic movement. And I'll talk a little bit more later about what that movement is. And interestingly enough, and the thing that completely blows my mind, is that Brian Ferry, who was really the founder of the group and came together and sort of collected friends within his art school community, he went to art college and kind of asked around, helped sort of fulfill this fantasy of a band that twisted the idea of rock and roll and made it way more sophisticated, highly manipulated, so they are very stylized. They actually had record covers that they actually had fashion shoots for. They more look like Vogue layouts than a typical rock and roll record of the time period. Their costuming on stage, every single aspect of that band was so thought out. And so... He really didn't have a mega music background. He wasn't formally trained. He was an ideas guy from art school. And even Brian Eno, a lot of people forget that Brian Eno, before he was Brian Eno, was in Roxy Music, kind of figuring out tape loops and sounds, expanding on what he started to dabble on in college as well. And so you have two core guys at the band's writing talent who weren't even real music guys yet. So it just goes to show what you can do when you have this idea and keep practicing. So they added lots of different members, kind of came and went, but you had Andy McKay, who was the saxophonist, oboist of the band. He's probably one of the more long-stay members. You had Paul Thompson, Phil Manzanera, and I'll go back in a little bit more about all of these guys later on. And then Eddie Jobson, I'm not quite sure how to pronounce that. Another incredible youngin who had to fill the incredibly large shoes that Brian Eno left after the second album. So we're going to kick things off, since Brian Ferry is really sort of the foundation of this group over the years and one of the only stable members of the band through this entire time period of the 40 years. We're going to look a little bit as to his childhood of growing up in England. He is 66 now, which means he was born in the mid-40s. And even from a very young age, the thing that he was most excited about was the things that really were cool. And what was cool in the 40s and early 50s? Well, jazz. Jazz was definitely different and more swinging and underground. There was a particular look to all the jazz records, jazz players. So this fascination with American jazz, and then the birth of the electric guitar and American rock acts. And you know, let's be honest, in this day and age, Bill Haley in the comments, we associate him with something like Happy Days now. But back in the day, that was a crazy new sound. And in fact, the first concert he ever went to, we won tickets as an 11-year-old to see Bill Haley. And the Teddy Boys and the Mods just tore up the theater in a riotous act because it wound them up so much. So it's hard to fathom now how cutting edge things like jazz and American R&B, like the Four Tops and Temptations with perfect suits and a whole look to their R&B sound. But this sort of well-dressed, even the rockabilly guys with their very specific look, the mod, Teddy Boy look. So you have a rock and roll thing and a music thing happening, sort of a bad boy thing, and then highly stylized. They all had sort of uniforms to it. And so this is all sort of churning in Brian Ferry's young mind, growing up in a working class atmosphere. So it's sort of unusual to grow up in that world and yet still be very obsessed with fashion, style, art, music, theater. So this first set might sound a little old-timey, but you got to remember Brian Ferry is a kid growing up in the 40s and 50s. This was all pretty outrageous stuff. So I'll go into some more music. We're going to kick things off with Miles Davis and Charlie Parker. Again, jazz guys doesn't get much cooler than either of those gentlemen. And the song is A Night in Tunisia. Thank you.
Oh, will you never set me free? The ties that bound us are still around us. There's no escape that I can see. And still those little things remain that bring me happiness or pain. A cigarette that bears a lipstick's traces, an airline ticket to romantic places, and still my heart has wings. These foolish things remind me of you. A tinkling piano in the next apartment, those stumbling words that told you what my heart meant. A fairground's painted swings, these foolish things remind me of you. You came, you saw, you conquered me. When you did that to me, I somehow knew that this had to be. The winds of March that make my heart a dancer, a telephone that rings, but who's to answer? Oh, how the ghost of you clings. These foolish things remind me of you. Gardenia perfume lingering on a pillow, while strawberries only 7 francs a kilo. And still my heart has wings, these foolish things remind me of you. The park at evening when the bell has sounded, France with all the girls around it, the beauty that is spring, these foolish things remind me of you. I know that this was bound to be, these things have haunted me, for you've entirely enchanted me. The sigh of midnight trains in empty stations, silk stockings thrown aside, dance invitations. Oh, how the ghost of you clings. These foolish things remind me of you. First daffodils and long excited, the smile of Garbo and the scent of roses, the waiter's whistling as the last bar closes, the song that Crosby sings, these foolish things remind me of you. How strange, how sweet, the scent of smoldering leaves, the wail of steamers, two lovers on the street who walk like dreamers. Oh, how the ghost of you clings. These foolish things remind me of you, just you. Thank you.
WRIR would like to thank RVA Magazine for its underwriting support. RVA Magazine is a quarterly publication providing coverage of Richmond's art and music scene, offering editorials and opinions about events, people, and happenings. RVA Magazine is available at many local coffee houses, bookstores, and retailers throughout the city. You may find RVA Mag on Facebook, Twitter, and at rvamag.com. Thank you, RVA Magazine. Coming up on Saturday, April 21st, a day to celebrate great music and local businesses, it's Record Store Day 2012. All around Richmond and all around the world, people are coming together to support local businesses and great music. There will be live music, DJ sets, and special deals on limited edition music. Here in Richmond, BK Music, Turnstile, Steady Sounds, Vinyl Conflict Record Store, Deep Groove Records, and Plan 9 Music will all be participating. You can get details at recordstoreday.com or by contacting your local record stores directly. You can do that because they're local. I am Lightning's Girl. This is Cause and Effect. And we're focusing on Roxy Music tonight. I'm going to kind of work backwards or forwards to back. I usually talk about the last song you heard, but I'm kind of going to work it the other way. We're talking about Brian Ferry, who is really the primary songwriter consistently through all of Roxy Music's years. And because of his age, again, he's 66, born in the mid-40s, starting to really register and collect music in the mid-50s. He actually began collecting 78s, and one of the first things he collected was a Charlie Parker EP. And so I played a Charlie Parker Miles Davis song, A Night in Tunisia. And, you know, I'm trying to imagine what it was like as a working-class English kid to hear something like that for the first time. You know, it's very American, it's exotic, there's something sort of rebellious, and it's certainly not what his parents grew up listening to. We heard Bad Penny Blues with by Humphrey Littleton, and you know, this particular track may not sound again in modern day all that crazy, but the production value was by Joe Meek. And if you know anything about Joe Meek, he has a pretty dark, twisted production style, and his whole life is actually a pretty weird, sad tale. But he invented some really cutting-edge ways to record bands in studio that had never been heard before. And so this was something that he really, really blew his mind as a kid. And so this is another record he owned on 78. We then heard Brian Ferry doing These Foolish Things, and that is a standard, a 50s standard sung by Ferry. And he's done tons of covers, not only as Roxy Music, but solo. He's done several records of just covers, including one all of just Bob Dylan. And I ended that set with I Can't Help Myself, Sugar by Honey Bunch, by the Four Tops. Very important to include something of the very well-dressed R&B world, another style of music he was obsessed with. And so he's piecing all these things together as a kid. And while he didn't know about this as a youngin, once he goes to art school and studies modern-day artists, the concept like that Marcel Duchamp took on was sort of taking something old, adding a signature, and turning it into something new. And that's kind of exactly what he was looking to do with Roxy Music, by borrowing heavily, collaging all of these things that he grew up being fascinated by and recreating it. So what I've just talked over as well was Lead Belly, Midnight Special, very important to mention since he too was obsessed with early blues and to this day is still a form of music he's passionate about. And the Beatles Behind Me with She's Leaving Home. Ferry covered this for a documentary, All This and World War II. So because he also, as he got older, cared about what was happening on the charts in the UK. You can't talk about what was happening in the 60s without mentioning the Beatles. So had to include that as well. And so now we're going to start entering his late teens and college years, and this is where he meets some people that are going to change his life and really expand his vision as to what art can be and what it means and how you can take something that's familiar with people like rock and roll and stretch it to something completely new. So I'm going to get into that next, and we're going to hear some T-Rex. I want to thank Mr. Atavist for loaning me the Roxy Music book. I seriously have 6 pages of notes thanks to that book, and it really helped me fill out the show and make me feel like I understand a band that I didn't know a ton about until now. So thank you so much for that, and I hope you guys are enjoying the show as much as I am. So we'll finish out with the Beatles and go into some T-Rex.
When I was 12, I was dancing when I was 12. I was dancing when I was out. I was dancing when I was out. I danced myself right out the womb. Dance myself right out the womb. Is it strange to dance so soon? I dance myself right out the womb. I was dancing when I was 8. I was dancing when I was 8. Strength to dance so late. Is it strength to dance so late? Strange to dance so soon. I dance myself into the tune. Is it too wrong to understand the fear that dwells inside a man? What's it like to be alone? Myself out of the womb. Is it strange to dance so soon? I dance myself into the tune, and then again once more. I dance myself out of the womb. I dance myself out. Strange to dance so soon. I dance myself out of the womb. Color. I don't know if that's good or bad.
The five colors make the ear rhyme. Jackie said that. The action hears the sound. I yell that.
Can you hear the train whistle outside your door? I'll go dance 3 or 4 times in advance, maybe sometimes more. Now and then, after and before, the tired of the dance floor. Can you hear the train whistle outside your door? Want to dance off the bar? Want to dance off the bar? Want to dance off the bar? That's the bar.
Thank you. my toes. Ooh, I must say, why not have it through the nose? Why not call this for my dream? Oh, why not just call that be the same? Oh, why need it tickle me down to my toes? Oh, why not I sit now through this nose? Good. I truly do love watch that stuff to itself in. Watch that side, no stuff on me dead and right. Red Foxy Mama walks the walk down the street. Come outside your head, gonna make a dead egg on me. Why not do for me, be my friend?
The man selling cheap thrills, boy with the big again. The samba isn't your scene. They're playing our tune by the pale moon. We're incognito down the Lido, and we like the strand. Arabs at the oasis, Eskimos of China. If you feel blue, look to who's who. See like Hulu and Nijinsky. Do the Stransky. Weary of the waltz and mashed potato schmaltz. But it can't be Strand Power. The Sphinx and Mona Lisa, Lolita and Ganika.
Tune into the British Breakfast on WRIR 97.3 LPFM with Gene in Richmond, Virginia, USA, and broadcast live around the world at WRIR.org.
Hey, gang. You're listening to WRIR, and I'm Lightning's Girl. This is Cause and Effect. Got a little King Crimson behind me, and I'll explain why in just a brief moment or two. We're talking about Roxy Music tonight, and we're up to Brian Ferry heading off into art school. And one thing I really didn't understand about Roxy Music until I had read a book about it was the influence of really not just music and how important the art school college community was to the foundation of the band's styling. And honestly, if I could do a proper cause and effect for them, half of it would all be visual images. So it's too bad that this isn't a television show, because there'd be so many important connections to what was happening in their college world of art school. And probably the most important influence to mention, there are many during this time period in Brian Ferry's life, but Richard Hamilton is probably the most important. He was given a teaching post at Newcastle upon Tyne, where Brian was going to school, and as well as Nicholas DeVille, who was sort of a partner of all of the visual stylings for Roxy Music early on, especially. And so Richard Hamilton is almost sort of like the Andy Warhol of England. He is experimenting with pop art and collage and really bringing pop culture to the forefront. And to have this kind of level of outside-of-the-box thinking as sort of an everyday go-to professor was really, really important to shaping not only how Brian Ferry thought about the world and how he thought about music, but also connecting him to more and more people within the artistic community. And then you have Brian Eno at a different art college studying minimal painting, of all things, but you know, being interested in avant-garde sounds of Cage and Stockhausen, and really sort of being curious about the world of tape looping and samples, but not really doing anything with that interest quite yet. And so when Brian Ferry starts piecing together a band, he kind of collects these people from his art world, and Roxy Music is born in starting in 70, but really starting to take shape in 71. So what we heard at the beginning of the set was T-Rex with Cosmic Dancer, and he was born around the same time as Brian Ferry. Important to talk about just because he was definitely considered sort of an early influence, but also a peer, because he was dabbling with sort of that glam look, had that vocal quiver, kind of another planet thing that David Bowie does and did at the time. So sort of combining all the things that he grew up loving, the 50s rockabilly thing and Dylan, but then took it to another level and made men look in a way that people weren't quite used to yet. I mean, obviously the 60s, this was happening all over, but as far as pop culture and popular music, you weren't really seeing those kind of people yet. So Mark Bolan and T-Rex were on the forefront of that movement. Weird Can with Outside My Door off of Monster Movie in 1966, important to Brian Eno because of their experimental sampling of sound. We heard Soft Machine with Lullaby Letter off of the Soft Machine record. Also very important members of the sort of psych rock proto-prog scene, key two-guitar player Manzanera. We heard White Light, White Heat, The Velvet Underground, and look at that, I finally played a full Velvet Underground song. I know they really do appear every week, but this time around, it's too important to not really have them based in a normal set, because truly, in the ways that Velvet Underground are associated with Andy Warhol and the American pop culture movement, Richard Hamilton, who I should also add, designed the White Album for the Beatles, was sort of that world to Roxy Music. So there's a really important parallel between the Velvet Underground and Roxy Music. We heard Roxy Music with Do the Strand off of For Your Pleasure, in 1973 album released on Island Records. That's actually their second album. And we heard Her Eyes Are a Blue Million Miles by Captain Beefheart. And he blended rock and blues, avant-garde, very experimental compositioning of his songs, and really was sort of a crazy character who constructed lots of myths about his life. And that concept of myths ties back to Roxy Music's interest in really collaging and creating a whole world that people could buy into. It was sophisticated, something a little old because of all the things that they originally influenced, but trying to be modern and space age at the same time, and the wacky version of the 60s and 70s idea of what modern looked like, redefining what sexy could be. I mean, that sort of ridiculous glam thing that now looks, you know, terribly dated, but at the time, super wild. They had high-end fashion designing friends who were literally styling them before that was a thing that bands did. So they were really one of the first bands to be manipulating style to the nth degree, not just on stage, but all their record covers, the way they tagged the details of the models on the cover and who shot the cover. It was really very much like a photo shoot. So all things that were new to the rock and roll world at that time period. And we have King Crimson behind me from the band's debut. Roxy Music's first record was produced by King Crimson's Pete Sinfield. And interestingly enough, something I didn't know, Brian Ferry auditioned for King Crimson early on, too. Well, he obviously didn't get the gig. We wouldn't have had Roxy Music if he had actually joined King Crimson. So I thought that was pretty interesting. So I'm going to go back into music. I know I'm doing a lot of talking, but there's so many weird, interesting facts about Roxy Music and how truly important they are to the advancement of music and certainly the last, you know, 40 years of music. So we're going to hear Quiet Sun with Wrong Wrong. And this is Phil Manzanera. And the drummer of this band, Charles Hayward, actually went to form this Heat. So this is from 1975. So I'm going to fade out some Roxy Music and we'll go into Quiet Sun. And this is WRIR.
Thank you.
8 o'clock. You're listening to WIR LP 97.3 FM, Richmond. I'm Lightning's Girl. This is Cause and Effect, and tonight's show is all about Roxy Music.
Time to kill. Going down.
WRIR is a proud co-sponsor of the 19th Annual James River Film Festival, a week-long celebration of independent film with events at the Bird Theater, VCU Grace Street Theater, Visual Arts Center, and Gallery 5. The 2012 James River Festival, Thursday, April 12th through Wednesday, April 18th, playing all over the River City. Schedule and details on Facebook and at jamesriverfilm.org. This is Cause and Effect. I'm Lightning's Girl. Tonight's show all about Roxy music, and we're sort of post-college years. We've talked about their heavy styling, their influence from non-traditional places like art school and the pop art scene happening in the UK. Behind me right now is the Bonzo Dog Band, Humanoid Boogie, really important to play because predating Roxy Music, they too were British art school Denzians of the 60s, combining all sorts of, you know, jazz, psych rock, avant-garde, cutting the path for a band like Roxy Music to follow. We heard Talking Heads with Born Under Punches, The Heat Goes On, off of Remain in Light. Important to add because while they're sort of peers, they're just on the cusp of what was happening at the same time with Roxy Music, clearly part of the art community, but in New York City. And also important to mention, there's some King Crimson crossover because of Adrian Belew, who worked with Talking Heads. And then Brian Eno, of course, played and worked on, I think, at least three of the Talking Heads albums. We heard UK with Time to Kill, and they were a short-lived prog rock band from England. That I think they were just late 70s to 1980. And you have John Wetton from King Crimson, who also played in Roxy Music and with Brian Ferry solo, among a ton of other things. Eddie Johnson, or Jobson, also of Curbed Air and Roxy Music, and played with Zappa. Alan Holdsworth, who was also in Soft Machine and many other bands. Bill Bruford, who was in Yes and King Crimson. And then Terry Bozzio, who was in Frank Zappa's band. He ended up becoming the replacement drummer for Bill Bruford. So, super group, absolute crossover to the Roxy Music, the members of Roxy Music. And then Quiet Sun at the beginning of that set with Wrong Wrong off of Mainstream. And I want to say thank you to Richard and Steven, Mikey, Bill, Aldo. There are so many phone calls tonight. Definitely one of the most streamed shows. I'm so thankful so many people are enjoying the show. I've had so much fun putting it together. We're going to get into some more of the peers and sort of moderner influences who were inspired by Roxy Music and who played some shows with Roxy. And interesting to discover that Wire, who during the 154 record, went on tour with Roxy Music and actually kind of got screwed. They didn't get paid well. In interviews, they've talked really kind of poorly about that touring situation. But nonetheless, you'll hear the song and can hear some definite Roxy Music influence, things that are starting to sort of trickle into many bands of this time period that maybe wouldn't have happened without Roxy Music doing it first. So this is Wire with I Should Have Known Better.
In an act of contrition, I lay down by your side. It's not your place to comment on my state of distress. For this is for real. I've tears in my eyes. Am I laughing or crying? I suggest I'm not lying. I haven't found a measure yet to calibrate my displeasure yet so to ignore my warning could be your folly. The judgment is harsh. I offer no plea, valuing the vengeance which you treasure. I've redefined the meaning of vendetta. The procession's disordered. You protect your possessions in the light of your actions. I question your love. May I make an observation? Your bite is worse than my aggression. I should have known better. I should have known better than to become a target. We'll be right back.
You Smoke
WRIR LP 97.3 FM. I'm Lightning's Girl. This is Cause and Effect, and tonight's show is all about Roxy Music. Behind me right now is Angelic Upstart's Never Give Up, and this is probably the weirdest addition to the set. And Paul Thompson, who was the drummer in Roxy Music for 71 to 1980 and then from 2001 onwards, he, in between being in Roxy Music, also happened to join the Angelic Upstarts. I would have never seen that one coming. I don't know a whole lot about the Oi punk scene in the UK, but still pretty interesting. So not only did he play with Brian Eno, some very solo projects, all Phil Manzanera's solo projects, and touring with these guys, he also did all sorts of one-offs with Gary Moore, and another kind of interesting one is Concrete Blonde. So this guy gets around. And Duran Duran says that his drumming style is hugely influential to what they do. And we'll actually hear Duran Duran coming up in the next set and talk a little bit about the new romantic movement. We heard Brian Eno with Needles in the Camel's Eye off of Here Come the Warm Jets. And I mean, his name and legacy as an artist, a solo artist and producer, are just insanely massive. And so often people forget that he began his musical career in Roxy Music, really cutting his teeth, learning synthesizers and tape looping. So it's crazy to think that such an influential artist has stayed this valued and active for these 40 years. I mean, he's really single-handedly changed the way musicians compose, perform, perceive music, from punk to techno, a lot of the new age, modern new age artists, minimal electronic artists, the list goes on and on. We also heard Phil Manzanera, who I've kind of talked about on and off for much of this show. His guitar sound, obviously so important to Roxy Music's sound, besides Brian Ferry. You know, each member plays an important role, but certainly his guitar style is very highly memorable. And we heard off of his Diamond Head solo release, Miss Shapiro. And if you recognize the vocals, that would be because they are Brian Eno. That particular solo record also features Robert Wyatt, who I don't think I mentioned earlier was a friend of his. And this is also partly why I played Soft Machine earlier in the night. We heard David Bowie, an influence and peer to Roxy Music, with Beauty and the Beast. Very similar sound to the song we heard before that, which is Roxy Music's The Thrill of It All from Country Life. That would be their fourth album, released in 1974. It was also, I believe, the first record to ever crack the American Top 40. And probably most important to mention about this particular record, between really it being maybe considered one of their best records, the adult-themed cover, while they always had very sexy, high-fashion shoot quality to their covers, never before did they have two girls, one of whom was topless, covering themselves. So you can't really see the naughty bits, but it certainly is there. They're otherwise in sheer underwear, and eventually the cover was censored, but it just kind of helped create this extra mystique about Roxy Music being sort of sexy, sophisticated, all the things that you would normally associate with high fashion. We heard the Stranglers with London Lady, and I wanted to sneak them in because even though they were sort of peers to the same time period, they're the exact opposite of Roxy Music was going for. They were macho, they certainly weren't classy, they weren't playing the pretty card, they weren't celebrating glamour and women. They're sort of anti all of those things that Roxy Music stood for. In fact, were considered pretty sexist. So I wanted to throw in another time period band that was sort of doing interesting music, but on a totally different level. And then Wire, which I already talked about, with I Should Have Known Better. Behind me right now is the group Ladytron, and they are named after Roxy Music, so I wanted to sneak them in as well. The song is called Playgirl. And so many influences, so many artists have claimed influence by Roxy Music. from the Sex Pistols, Susie and the Banshees, The Cars, Grace Jones, Kate Bush, Adam Ant, Human League, Japan, Duran Duran, ABC, Spandau Ballet, The Fix, Depeche Mode, Annie Lennox, Morrissey, Jarvis Cocker, Goldfrapp, Mark Lanegan, Chic of all things. I mean, the list goes on and on. And so besides prominent vocal stylings, we also have the New Romantic Movement, which is sort of the synthy, frilly UK synth band style that Duran Duran was certainly a part of helping create. So without further ado, we're going to get to some more of the peers and followers of Roxy Music, and I'm going to fade out Ladytron, and we're going to get into some Duran Duran with The Chauffeur.
Silver. You've got me, girl, on the run around, got me all around town. You've got me, girl, on the run around, and it's getting me down. If you wanna find a lover, then you look no further, for I'm gonna be your only. Searching at the start of the season, and my only reason is that I'll get you. Thank you.
for something that'll fit your ears just right? Then tune into Paul's Boutique. Choice cuts hand-selected by me, DJ Paul G. Thursdays from 9 to 11 p.m. here on WRIR 97.3 LPFM, Richmond Independent Radio.
Man, I don't want this show to end. There's still so much more to get to. It's so hard to talk and play all the music that I know are all the important puzzle pieces to tell Roxy Music's story. This is Cause and Effect. I'm Lightning's Girl. Behind me is Curved Air, a song called Backstreet Love. And when Eno left Roxy Music after the second album, he was replaced by a 19-year-old, Eddie Jobson, or Jobson, and he came from this band, so that's who's behind me right now. You couldn't do a Roxy Music set without including the Sparks, and that was Asta Manana Monsieur. From 1973, they were brothers, Ron and Russell, and this style of music wasn't really very big in America. And so even though these brothers were from America, with Roxy Music's popularity in the UK, it just made more sense for them to try a shot in London. And so that's exactly what they do. They relocated to the United Kingdom. Their third album in 1974 came out on Island Records. So they were actually also label mates of Roxy Music. Imagine that, the whole sort of time period of the 70s, you would have thought by then with disco and the sort of chicness of Roxy Music in the white suits, they still didn't really catch on. You know, they ditched the more glam thing, had gone for a much more like high fashion look. And still, America was a little slow to the Roxy Music craze. That really didn't happen until the last couple records. We heard Roxy Music with Ladytron from their debut release. And really, the penchant for glamour is not only in the lyrics, but also the album cover has sort of a 50s pinup style. And I believe the woman on the cover of that cover ended up marrying Mick Jagger's brother, weird random factoid, and Duran Duran at the beginning of the set with The Chauffeur, probably one of the bigger bands highly influenced by Roxy Music. Well, I say that, but then, you know, Morrissey and The Cars, these are all huge artists who really looked up to Roxy Music as well, so it's probably not fair to say. I'm going to play a little snippet of Japan, who David Sylvian, and at some point I really need to do a show on David Sylvian. Huge follower to not only the styles of early Roxy Music, but the sort of same vocal, theatrical, quivering style that Brian Ferry carried. So we're going to hear a little bit of Ghosts, a little bit of The Explorers with Venus de Milo, and that was actually Andy McKay, who is one of the founding members of Roxy Music, the saxophonist, who ended up working with anybody from Duran Duran to Mott the Hoople and McCartney, John Cale. He's been very, very busy after Roxy Music sort of took a break in the 80s. So really almost everybody in the band has gone on to touch so many parts of modern music. So not just as Roxy Music influential as that band, but all of the sort of offshoots, which are just hundreds of, to each of the members. So I'm going to play little snippets of a bunch of stuff, and I know it stinks because you want to hear everything, but nonetheless, we'll try to get in as much as I possibly can. So here's a little bit of Japan with Ghosts, and then I'll stop talking.
When the room is quiet, the daylight almost gone, it seems there's something I should know. Well, I ought to leave, but the rain, it never stops, and I've no particular place. When I think I'm winning, when I chance came to be king. The ghost of my life blew wilder than the
is up next. I had such a great time covering Roxy Music tonight for these past 2 hours. This was Cause and Effect. JJ will be in next week with doing Jens Luckman. And a quick note about what we just heard. Behind me is Grace Jones covering Roxy Music with Love is the Drug. The real only U.S. hit for Brian Ferry and the gang. We heard Roxy Music Street Life off of Stranded, their third album, which was released in 1973. It actually reached number one in the UK charts. And then on the cover of that album was Playmate of the Year, Marilyn Cole. So the whole suave, sophisticated, classy thing kind of worked out for Roxy Music because Brian Ferry is sort of infamous for having a bevy of lovely ladies in his life, to the point where I believe he, when his son stopped dating a woman 30-some years younger than him, he ended up dating her and marrying her. So he is 66. Brian Ferry still apparently has it. As I mentioned at the beginning of the night, Roxy Music has a 40th anniversary box set out with 8 CDs, 4 DVDs. So it's their whole catalog as well as a bunch of live stuff and then B-sides and remixes. So they're still doing some touring. They've been back together since 2001. And as I mentioned, still incredibly active guys, all of which who are older gentlemen. It's kind of exciting to know that they're not only still at it, but as important to the music timeline as ever. So we got Paul's Boutique up next, and I'll just leave you with a couple last minute with Grace Jones. Have a great night.